Welcome to The Gift of Grace with Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar. The Gift of Grace is a program where we read and teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. And now, here's your host, Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to The Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Gigliotti here with my good friend Stephen Garchar.
Hi, Phil. How are you doing this evening?
Real good.
It's good to be back here again with you on Sunday evening.
Yeah, here we are again. These weeks just fly by.
I drove all the way from...
Warren? No.
Cortland.
Cortland. I don't know all those Youngstown towns. But we'd like to welcome all our listeners on 1440 AM.
Yeah. Exactly. And all those on 1220.
Whatever that is. Yeah. No, I like the Youngstown area. I even like Campbell.
Campbell. Not a camel. It doesn't have two humps. It's a city.
Yeah, that was the first I heard of it when you mentioned it that day. But anyway, so that's kind of an inside joke, but anyway.
All right, let's get serious.
Yes, now we're very serious. We've had, I don't know how many shows now, talking about responding to God's call to serve him, to do something, to respond to a mission that he has for us. Mm-hmm. With the Hebrew word hineni, and we've used some examples from Abraham and from Jacob and from Samuel and from Isaiah. And last week's show, which you can go to giftofgraceministries.org if you want to listen to it again, we talked about Isaiah chapter 6, which is one of my favorite chapters in the whole scripture because it's just so powerful.
Yeah.
And tonight we're going to start, I don't know how far we'll get, and who knows how many Hineni shows there'll be. We're going to go to Isaiah chapter 58.
He has 58 chapters?
He has 66 chapters.
Get out.
When he got to 58, he said, wow, I got 58 chapters already.
Man.
Wow. Yeah, he was just typing away.
It's incredible.
Yeah.
Wow.
He was typing away.
And on his word processor.
No, he's his portable hand and a quill and a parchment and, who knows, some blueberry ink or something.
Yeah.
I wonder how long you could use one of those quills before you had to get a new feather. Probably not very long. But anyway, enough of this. We'll find out when we get to heaven. He'll probably let us know. But he likes me because I always say he's my favorite major prophet.
It's all the other ones you got to worry about.
Yeah. So in Isaiah 58, a really interesting turn takes place here because we've been talking about communication that God has with various people, the people I just mentioned a minute ago, and they get a call, or in the case of Moses, he sees the burning bush. In the case of Isaiah, he has this amazing heavenly vision of the throne and the garment and the angels and the holy, 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 and but in chapter 58, he does something a little differently. And it's a matter of how when we do what God wants us to do, he can respond to us in a way that we may not expect. Mm-hmm. Not because we're so awesome and we've earned the recognition, but just that he's had a mission for someone. They've done the mission and you get rewarded for that in some way. Mm-hmm. And of course there'll be eternal rewards and more than there'll be earthly rewards. And
true.
Contrary to what some preachers would say.
True.
It's not going to necessarily improve your bank account, but it will definitely help your long-term retirement plan.
Definitely. Yeah.
Where you won't have to worry about paying bills and having Medicare and all that stuff. Yeah. And we're going to read Isaiah 58. Let's do verses 5 through 9.
Okay. Is this the manner of fasting I would choose? A day to afflict oneself? To bow one's head like a reed and lie upon sackcloth and ashes? Is this what you call a fast, a day acceptable to the Lord? Is this not rather the fast that I choose, releasing those bound unjustly, untying the thongs of the yoke, setting free the oppressed, breaking off every yoke? Is it not sharing your bread with the hungry, bringing the afflicted and the homeless into your house, clothing the naked when you see them, and not turning your back on your own flesh? Then your light shall break forth like the dawn, and your wound shall quickly be healed. Your vindication shall go before you, and the glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry for help, and he will say, "Here I am." If you remove the yoke from among you, the accusing finger and malicious speech, if you lavish your food on the hungry and satisfy the afflicted, then your light shall rise in the darkness, and your gloom shall become like midday.
Woo.
Wow.
There's a lot of stuff there. Yeah. But you can see the important line in this passage is in verse 9, when this is God speaking through Isaiah, says, then you shall call and the Lord will answer. You shall cry and he will say, "Here I am." Mm-hmm. Here God is saying, "Hineni," to the person who's crying to him.
Yeah.
That's so awesome, I can't even stand it. But he before this, he kind of sets a stage of how that's going to happen. That's not going to happen when you say, "Here I am, Lord. I've been doing all this stuff for you, and I think I've done a really, really good job, and I think that I've done a way better job than all those other guys, and I've done 10 times more work than all those other guys in my church, and I've been here every single Sunday, and so you should be happy that I'm here. So when I need a little bit of help, how about, you know, saying Hineni?" That's he's saying that's not the thing. That's not the way this is going to be. Before, to set this in context, he was talking about the people were upset about the fasts that they had to do and the rituals that they were doing. You know, kind of like us complaining about going to church. Mm-hmm. I guess since it's Sunday morning, I'll go, but
I have to drive 15 minutes.
I gotta drive. Yeah. And it's raining and I gotta park and I don't know where my umbrella is. And if I have to park more than 12 feet from the door, I'm going to be upset. And maybe I can just have somebody open the door and I can pull my car into the foyer.
Yeah.
That would be even better.
So I don't get wet.
Or why don't they have a covered parking lot in this place?
Yeah.
I mean, that's what we do.
Like a big tent.
And people were upset about these fasts and rituals, saying, you know, is God even noticing what I'm doing? I mean, after all, you know, I'm doing the stuff. You know, he says, is this your fast? You say, well, I'm going to afflict myself today. You know, I'm going to put on the sackcloth and the ashes and, I'm going to be there like a reed and, you know, I'm so repentant now. I can't even stand myself. And this isn't a complaint against people that are truly repentant and doing a fast and asking for forgiveness.
Right.
This is for people that are doing the externals of it.
Mm-hmm.
Of, I got my sackcloth on. I'm praying. I'm repenting. So what else you want? I mean, you should be happy with this because, after all, I'm pretty awesome.
Yeah. Haven't I done this long enough?
Yeah. And God says, you know, you do this for a day and you think you've done something amazing.
Yeah.
For a day. You're supposed to, you know, fasting deprives the flesh and it's supposed to humble you and help discipline you. And it lowers the importance you have of yourself.
Yeah.
And how you perceive God and perceive things around you.
Mm-hmm.
And the Pharisees, you know, Jesus always talked about the Pharisees.
Right.
Oh, wow. They really knew how to fast. They'd make themselves look gloomy and walk around. So everybody would say, oh, they're fasting. Wow. Those holy guys.
Oh,
man, they're always fasting.
They're enduring.
Yeah. Hey, I'm fasting today. You know, you can picture these Pharisees. You know, can't do anything. Can't have anything to eat today. I'm fasting because, you know, that's what I do.
Yeah. I mean, Jesus basically tells them, you know, don't let your right hand know what your left hand is doing.
Yeah.
And when you pray, go in secret and pray to your Father.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And God's saying to the people through Isaiah, you know, doing this for a day or so, and then you go back to your regular life, that doesn't really cut it. You're supposed to change your life.
Exactly.
You're supposed to repent from what you've done. You're going to try to better your conduct. You're going to try to follow him. You're going to try to walk a different path.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, we're saved by grace, but we still want to walk in a path of holiness as best we can.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're not going to do that for one day and say, well, I did it, so now I'm going to go wash these ashes off, take the sackcloth off, and go out to eat.
And I mean, really, in the course of the year in the church, you know, you have seasons like Advent and Lent where we do those things.
Mm-hmm.
But they're really meant to, and prayer is another great example of, you know, when you pray for somebody, the prayer should really change me.
Yes.
If I'm praying just to change the other person, then I'm missing half of what prayer is for.
Yes, exactly.
Because it's really my praying for somebody else should not only fervently pray for the grace of God to be beholden upon that person,
mm-hmm.
but I should also be open to God's grace changing my own heart
mm-hmm.
through that prayer that I become
exactly
more attentive to God and more willing to serve and more willing to be like Christ, his son.
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly. And this is what God is getting at through the prophet Isaiah.
Yeah.
If you're doing the externals of the fast, like the Pharisees did, and you expect people to be impressed, or even if you're, you know, music minister in your church and, oh, you are a music minister in your church.
Hey.
But I mean, if you get up before the service and pick up the microphone and say, I just want everybody to know, I've been fasting today, and, you know, it's really hard.
Was I not supposed to do that?
No. And it's really hard on me, but I'm doing it because, you know what? I always do the stuff.
I might not even sing as good today because I'm so weak.
Yeah, I'm just weak from hunger.
Were you there? No, I'm like,
yeah, hunger. And God is saying through Isaiah, that doesn't cut it.
Right.
And in verses 6 and 7 there, he tells you what the real, quote, fast is. You know, you loose the bonds of wickedness. You undo the yoke.
Mm-hmm.
You let the oppressed go free. You share your bread with the hungry. You help the homeless poor. You cover naked people.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you want to do something that's going to change your life and not just do externals, do some of these things.
Mm-hmm.
This exactly. is what's more important to me than, you know, giving up your candy bars for Lent.
Yeah.
So to speak.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
This is what's important. And, you know, you share your bread. You deny yourself to help somebody else. You know, Jesus said, if you have two coats, give one of them to somebody else.
Yeah.
That'd be pretty hard for us to do in this day and age because now you got like, you know, a couple of coats, three or four jackets. And you say, hey, if that guy doesn't have a coat, that's tough.
Mm-hmm.
I got a bunch of coats.
Yeah.
And we all do that. And, you know, in Matthew 25, which is, you know, the final judgment, Jesus says, well, did you do all these things?
Mm-hmm. Or when the rich young man says, Master, you know, how do I attain eternal life? And Jesus says, you know, you have to keep the commandments, fast, keep the Sabbath. I've done all these things.
Yeah.
All right. Well, there's one thing you're lacking in. Go and sell all your possessions and come and follow me.
Yeah.
And he turned away with a heavy heart because he didn't own possessions. His possessions owned him.
Yes.
He was not willing to part with those things.
And I hate to keep picking on modern Christianity of, you know, the health and wealth gospel, but see passages like that you just quoted, Jesus doesn't say, oh, hey, man, you're going to have it made now.
Yeah.
He says, give everything away and follow me.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you're going to give everything away, how are you going to get prosperous from that?
Exactly.
You got to follow me.
From a monetary perspective, a worldly perspective,
yes.
That is not the way to do it.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's the real fast that you're supposed to do. Because then in the next verse, he says, when you do these things, your light will break forth like the morning.
Yeah.
Woo.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Your light's going to break forth and your righteousness is going to go before you and the glory of the Lord is going to be your rear guard. So in other words, you're going to have the presence of the Lord so much with you that it's going to like light you up.
Mm-hmm.
Even though people looking at you might say, man, that guy's a weirdo. You know, what's he doing over there giving his coat away? But yeah. This guy's a weirdo. But now you got this light all around you and you're surrounded also by God's protection.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, he's telling Isaiah the type of fast that is acceptable to him.
Mm-hmm.
and the type of fast that is not acceptable to him.
Yeah.
Because God sees the heart.
Yes.
And he always sees the heart. And that's one of the things that, you know, I think sometimes is lost in our current state of the church, our current culture, is we believe that nobody knows the intent of my heart. But we forget in that, because we deal with human beings, we forget that God sees the intent of my heart. And, you know, if you portray yourself as one person, but you live differently when you're not in front of people, God sees all that.
Mm-hmm.
And so as a believer in Jesus Christ, as an adopted son or daughter in the family of God, God knows all that. God sees all that. And he calls us to that holiness. As Jesus says, be holy as your Father is in heaven is holy. Be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Because anything less is really, you know, we're kind of playing a game with the Lord going, well, I can still do this. I don't think God will mind it too much. And he's not going to get that upset about it. But if we do that, we give one foot over to the enemy.
Yes.
And we don't advance. We don't grow spiritually. And we don't go closer to God. And the light that God wants to reveal through us never breaks forth.
Yeah. Good. Yeah. Excellent. Really well put. That's awesome. And Jesus addresses this, you know, it's like, don't stand on the street corner and pray. Go in your closet and pray.
Yeah.
Now, there's nothing wrong with public prayer, so don't send emails.
Yeah.
But Jesus' point is that a lot of these Pharisees would stand out in the public and say, oh, Lord, blah, 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 and go on praying for 30, 40 minutes while people went by and threw shekels into their hat.
Yeah.
And he says, you know what? They're already rewarded. If you want to pray, go in your closet and pray.
Right.
Do it in secret.
Mm-hmm.
You know, talk to your Father in secret.
Yeah.
And it's supposed to be a humble thing, not, you know, he says the Pharisees make people think they're holy because they say so many words.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, if you say a really long prayer, people say, wow, that guy's really holy. Look how long that prayer is.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what he's trying to get away from. And so when you do that in a spirit of humility and you do these things that he calls the fast I want you to do, which... And again, we have to go back to thinking these people were trying to follow the law. So when the law says on this day you fast, on that day you fasted, you said, okay, I did the law.
Yeah.
I did the law. But what he's saying is it's a bigger picture than that.
Yeah.
So this is the real fast. And so when you do those things, God shows that he's eager to answer what you ask of him. He says, hineni.
Yeah.
You know, God says, here I am. You know, what do you want me to do? He's eager to answer, and he's going to let us know that he's near.
Yeah. And I think, you know, through this whole passage, I mean, that's really probably one of the most important things is that your vindication shall go before you, and the glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Mm-hmm. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer, and you shall cry for help, and he will say, here I am.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. And that is part of the whole... covenant relationship that God has with us is that because we're in a covenant and because there's been an exchange of persons through Jesus Christ, when I say, here I am, Lord, God says back to me, here I am.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
And I think, you know, we really don't encompass that in our thought process about just What is it that we are saying, and who are we saying it to, and what is his response to me?
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think this kind of, in all these hananis that we talked about over the past few weeks, we're going to do some from the New Testament too, eventually, but all this actually points to this, where God then turns it around and he's the one who says, here I am.
Yeah. And I was going to say, the host of heaven, whom Isaiah saw in chapter 6, is saying to me and to you, when I say, here I am, Lord, he's saying to us, here I am.
Yeah.
This vision that Isaiah saw of the heavenly host that he thought, I'm doomed.
Mm.
That God is saying to us, here I am.
Yeah. Well,
it's amazing. It's incredible.
Yeah. And this really kind of focuses us back to, you know, we can talk about being saved by grace and being, you know, having faith and getting grace, and Abraham had faith and it was counted as righteous. But there are still works that you have to do.
Mm-hmm.
There are still works that, you know, we're saved unto good works, Paul writes. I can't remember the exact quotation, but we are supposed to help the poor and give our bread to the hungry and
worry
about some guy who's out in the street freezing on a winter night, or, you know, somebody who doesn't have any clothes and they've just got some rags on.
Right.
And you know, like James says, if you walk by and say, well, God bless you and have a nice day.
Goodbye and good luck.
Yeah.
Hope somebody helps you.
Yeah. Hey, things are tough all over, bub.
But, yeah.
I'm going home. But, you know, here through Isaiah, he's saying, you know, you do these things, I'm going to be with you while you're doing them.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to be letting you know that I'm with you.
Yeah.
To the point where I'm going to say, Hineni, what would you like me to do?
Mm-hmm.
What do you need? What do you want from me?
Yeah.
Whew.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And in our day too, it also applies to preaching the gospel to people. You know, it's good to help the poor person, but while you're doing it, you should also be sharing the gospel with them.
Yeah.
You should be sharing the love of Christ with them,
mm-hmm.
not just in the physical help.
Right.
You use the physical help and you tell them the spiritual help.
Exactly.
And then he's going to say, Hineni, here I am.
Yeah.
Woo.
Yeah, because it's a good thing to feed somebody who's hungry or give them clothing. You have to share the gospel message. You have to share the simple fact that Jesus Christ is, that he died for their sins.
Mm-hmm.
Because how do you know that they've ever heard that message?
Yeah.
How do you ever know that they've been, that anyone else has ever spoken to them about the love that God has through his son, Jesus Christ?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Jesus tells us in Matthew 5 and some other places is we have to be salt and light.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if we have this gospel message and we say, okay, I got the message. I've repented. I'm saved. I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. And then I just stay home all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I just kind of enjoy that in my family room.
Yeah.
You know, it's great. Good for you.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not what you're supposed to be doing.
Yeah.
So when he says you know, you have to be salt and light, you know, you have to go out and use these things.
You have to be both.
Yes.
You can't
to be
both. One or the other.
That's right. You can't put your bushel basket over the lamp. You have to light up the areas around you.
Yeah. I'm just going to be salt today. I'm not going to be light. I'm going to be salt. Because, you know, if you pour salt on a wound, what happens?
Ooh.
It just aggravates it, you know.
Ooh. Yeah.
But salt preserves things.
Yes.
Salt flavors things.
I mean, they preserved. I would have been afraid to eat anything then.
Oh, man.
They preserved fish and meat. I mean, they salted all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, man, when those guys caught fish, how long did they have to sell it? I mean, not very long.
Yeah.
In that heat.
Warm climate, yeah.
Whew. I mean, I get worried if I leave some fish out for a couple hours, you know, in the kitchen.
Yeah.
They got this 100-degree heat.
But
the salt preserves it.
Mm-hmm.
And salt adds taste to things.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's kind of like the gospel message.
Yeah. You have to be both.
Yeah. And I think in, like we always say, this time we're living in now, it's even more important than ever to be salt and light.
Yeah.
Sometimes you don't even know where to start.
No, like we've said, Jesus said, love one another as I've loved you. He didn't say tolerate one another as I've tolerated you. A lot of times the church picks up messages from the culture and the church has to rebuke that.
Is that the music?
That is the music.
Oh, no.
Another show come and gone.
Well, that was fun.
Yeah.
Well, hope you've had an awesome Lord's Day.
And we just pray that through these series of shows that you would have a greater awareness of answering God's call in humility and love brings God to say, here I am for you. God bless everyone. Have a great week.
You've been listening to The Gift of Grace with Phil Giliotti and Stephen Garchar. Phil and Steve will be back next week when they will once again teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Thanks and God bless.